So this morning, we're the envy of other parts of the UK, and it's all down to hard, cold cash. Despite her denial that they even existed, somewhere in the back of the Downing Street garden, Theresa May found a magic money tree. And yesterday, under pressure from the DUP, the Prime Minister gave that magic money tree a shake and out fell £1 billion. Arlene Foster, Nigel Dodds and Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, they didn't even try to hide their beaming smiles inside Number 10. Mrs May, on the other hand, well, she looked a little bit uncomfortable, and is there any wonder? Yeah, and we certainly have it. The Scots and the Welsh, on the other hand, they're calling this a bung and a bribe. And we've heard all those warnings that this new alliance between the DUP and the Tories could make a Stormont deal more difficult. And that clock is ticking. Thursday is the deadline, so we want to hear from you today. What do you think of the deal? Is it good for Stormont, the DUP, or just the Tories? Yeah. Zero 30 30 80 55 55 is the number. A moment ago, I spoke to Sinn Féin's John O'Dowd, and I began by asking him if this £1 billion deal made an agreement between Sinn Féin and the DUP at Stormont more or less likely.
And it doesn't resolve the outstanding issues, and the outstanding issues are the implementation of those deals previously signed up to and agreed to. So while the money is very welcome and it will ease some of the pressures on our public services, the issues which brought the executive down, the RHI, and in terms of outstanding agreements, don't need to be resolved.
So let's just take us through some of that. As far as red lines are concerned, Arlene Foster stepping aside, that is still a red line for Sinn Féin.
Well, we have this game of table tennis around terminology. I haven't used the term red line. But what we are saying is we have asked Arlene Foster to step aside as First Minister. The DUP can nominate someone else into that post. And the reason behind that is quite logical. The RHI inquiry will start sitting in September. It will be the main focus of public and media debate. And what we require is our executive to be focused on the delivery of public services and investment into our society rather than constantly dealing with issues around RHI.
OK, now we've obviously know the Westminster deal is done. The point is we're looking towards the Stormont deal, and you may not have used the terminology red line, but actually some in Sinn Féin did use the term red line as far as Arlene Foster stepping aside. Has that now changed, or is it still the case that it is a red line that you won't go back into government with Arlene Foster as First Minister?
Well, again, the terminology, we can use whatever terminology we wish in regard to these matters. I set you out our position. Sinn Féin is asking Arlene Foster to step aside to allow the executive to deliver the public services and investment that's required.
So it's not a red line?
No, Chris, I'm not going to get into a game of terminology table tennis.
Yeah, but it has been used by Sinn Féin in the past. That's why we're asking the question.
And well, whoever used it, you can interview that person this morning.
Well, I think it was your leader, actually.
So I'm saying to you this. Our position is that Arlene Foster needs to step aside to allow a executive to concentrate on its main focus, delivering public services, delivering public investment, and not to be distracted by the daily media interest in the RHI inquiry, the daily public interest in the RHI inquiry, which is justifiable and understandable, but government has to get on with the job.
OK, so let's just focus on what is important then to Sinn Féin in the negotiations that are still ongoing, OK? Irish Language Act, is that a red line?
The Irish Language Act remains to be resolved. There's still no Irish Language Act, and we require that. And I listened to Nigel Dodds' interview outside Westminster yesterday, and he said that the DUP wanted to deliver a deal for all people. Irish language speakers are people, and they're members of this community. Members of the LGBT community are people and members of this community. So therefore, if the DUP are up for delivering a deal for all the people, then we will be able to resolve these matters very, very quickly.
So. Does it have to be a standalone Irish Language Act, or can it be something that takes into account other cultures, other languages, for example?
Well, I'm not going to negotiate on her, but whatever the Act is, or whatever it contains, it has to protect the rights and entitlements of Irish language speakers. It has to be a meaningful Act, and it has to deliver for the rights and entitlements of Irish language speakers. What you call it, what else it contains, is secondary to that, but I'm not going to start negotiating the details of that honour.
I appreciate that, but you're mentioning things here like the Irish Language Act, you're mentioning things like same-sex marriage, Arlene Foster stepping aside, but you also seem to be suggesting that there's a bit of flexibility in there. Are none of those things now essential for you to go back into government?
Well, I think after 6 months of political turmoil, 6 months without an executive, 6 months of now two elections, both of those largely based on the outstanding issues, I think it's fair to say that Sinn Féin remain committed to the delivery of those principles before an executive can be reinstated.
So that does make them red lines after all.
But you see, you and I have now got into a game of tennis around terminology, and neither of us are going to give in on it. I've explained to you what our Sinn Féin position is in regard to these matters. They're very serious issues. The negotiations are kicking off again this morning at 10 o'clock. And as long as there's talking, there's hope. And as I've said before, I'm an optimist and also a realist. So we have put our positions quite clearly to all the political parties. To both governments, they're aware of what our position is, they're aware of what is required to get Sinn Féin back into the executive, and we're working our way through those issues, and hopefully they'll be resolved in the next 24 hours.
And I'm sure you're tired enough having talked late into the night last night. Can you tell us at least how the negotiations are going?
Well, like all negotiations, they have their ups and downs, but I work on the basis as long as there's some form of negotiation ongoing, there's a hope of a resolution.
Yeah, but come on, has there been progress on any of these issues? That's not an unfair question.
It's not an unfair question, and I can understand why a journalist would ask it, but I'm sure as a journalist you'll understand why I cannot answer it, given the fact that we're now looking at the finishing line in terms of these negotiations. We all want to get across the finishing line. Whether we do or not remains to be seen, but I think my responsibility at this stage is to remain faithful to the privacy of those negotiations and to ensure that my focus and my party's focus is on bringing those negotiations to a successful conclusion.
When do you regard the deadline as being? Does this need to be in place by tomorrow, by today, in order for the Assembly to meet on Thursday?
Well, I think the quicker we reach a resolution, the better, because then it allows both the public and the political parties to absorb the information of any deal that's achieved. It allows us then to bring the deal to our respective bodies in terms of our executives or our coalitions, whatever it needs to be, in terms of clear. And I also understand that the British government may require some legislative role in this as well, though I'm not completely au fait with what the British government's legislative role may be at the end of it.
But this will have to go to your party officers in order to get agreement on this?
Well, I suspect it'll have to go to all the parties. Party officers, all parties have management lines in place, and they'll be required to sign off on any deal.
In that case, for Thursday, are you optimistic it can be done by then?
I'm realistic that there's a lot of work yet to be done, but it can be achieved between now and Thursday.
So it can be achieved. I mean, just can you quantify this in some way for us? I mean, in terms of your hope for a deal, what are you percentage wise? Do you think it's 60% of the way there, 70%? You give me a figure.
I remember a certain politician answering that question and then regretting it.
We're not trying to cause you trouble here. We're just trying to find out where things are at.
No doubt you're not trying to cause me trouble. But my focus is I don't want to cause the negotiation problem.
Here's the problem, though, OK? If you don't get a deal by Thursday, are you now accepting that it will have to be direct rule? Because that's not something that Sinn Féin wants, is it?
No, I'm not accepting direct rule in any form, shape or colour. Our focus is, and the focus of everyone should be, trying to get the democratic institutions of the executive up and going to serve all the people. And I keep coming back to Nigel Dodds' comment outside Westminster yesterday. He said the DUP and the British government had reached a deal for all the people. Well, then implement a deal for all the people and ensure the executive's up and running.
There was a slight sort of warning from Nigel Dodds as well. I don't know if you listened to him last night, but he seemed to say that if this doesn't work, then Sinn Féin will have to kind of put up with the consequences. Did you understand what that meant?
No, I don't understand what he means by that. There's a lot of things said in the heat of battle and in the heat of negotiation. But I concentrate on what's in front of us in terms of the negotiations between the political parties, and we don't want to see consequences for any of the political parties in this. We want to see delivery of public services. We want to see investment in our society. We want to see
which the DUP have achieved, to be fair to them.
Well, they have achieved and accept the extra funding coming into our society. But put it in this context, I was previously education minister. The extra money going into education will bring you to the same spending power, roughly, as the 16-17 budget. That's a lot less than it was in 10-11.
And that can all be delivered under direct rule as well?
It can be, but it shouldn't be. And our intention is to deliver it under the executive.
So tell us what you think should happen on Thursday if there is no deal. Are we talking about elections? Yet more limbo? Yet more time whenever this place just kind of carries on in a zombie state?
No, I'm not concentrating on failure. I'm concentrating on ensuring that there is successful outcome to these negotiations. That should be the focus of all the political parties at this time.
Yeah, but you must have a backup plan. Is it elections as far as you're concerned? Is that the only acceptable thing?
No, I haven't thought beyond Thursday. We as a party are solely focused on the implementation of outstanding agreements, getting the executive back up and running again. We haven't thought beyond Thursday.
John O'Dowd remaining a bit tight-lipped there.